I'm always seeing things on the news and thinking, that can't be right, can it? Listen to the KYW News Radio In-Depth Podcast and make it make sense.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
Now, we know that the price of the house has gone up, but it's also easy to forget that on top of housing prices, you also have to pay property taxes on top of them.
Right? When I'm Zillowing and I see the price of a house and I think, you know what, maybe I could afford that. There are so many other costs that go into it, and property taxes is one. And of course, as values of homes are going up, so are the taxes. The city of Philadelphia recently posted new property assessments, which means a lot of folks in the city were surprised by a pretty hefty tax increase.
We had received emails from one constituent whose property value assessment went from $70,000 to $560,000, which, as you can imagine, would be a shock.
That's Philadelphia City Councilman Mark Squilla, whose office estimates that at least 100,000 properties have their values increase by more than 50%. Yikes. I'm J. Scott Smith.
I'm Sabrina Boyd-Serka.
And that kind of increase would be a shock to everyone. I'm renting and that shocks me, but it's also hitting some people harder than others. We're going to take a look at how these assessments impact low-income communities, and particularly Black and brown residents here in the city of Philadelphia, and where you can go if you need help paying those increased property taxes. But first, Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey, he's a Democrat, but he's long taken an anti-abortion position. But after last week's leaked Supreme Court draft decision that would overturn Roe versus Wade, Senator Casey now says that he will vote in favor of the Women's Health Protection Act, which could protect access to abortion.
Interesting twist, I would say. In a statement, Casey wrote, "In the nearly 3 months since the Senate last voted on the Women's Health Protection Act, the circumstances around the entire debate on abortion have changed." And he also said the real question of the moment is, do you support a categorical ban on abortion? During my time in public office, I have never voted for, nor do I support such a ban. So it sounds like he still might be against some types of abortions, but not an outright ban, which is becoming more and more possible after this draft decision.
Now, it also should be noted that if that name Casey sounds somewhat familiar, his father is Bob Casey Sr., the former Pennsylvania governor who fought against Planned Parenthood as a Democrat in Planned Parenthood versus Casey. That was the case that ultimately upheld the rights that were established in Roe versus Wade.
I think this is an example that, like we talked about last week, of how politicians are really going to have to pick a side now. They can't stand wishy-washy in the middle now that this is much more of a possibility. And to keep those Democratic voters, you know, this is, I don't know how much of this is Casey's personal opinion or a strategic move on his part, but I think it certainly plays to the Democratic voters.
Now, we've talked before on this podcast about incidents of stalking using tracking devices, most recently the Apple AirTag, either hacking into someone's device or simply walking by and dropping it into a purse or sticking it onto a car and then tracking them back to their home. Well, a new bill across the river in New Jersey is hoping to prevent that sort of thing by making it illegal. Now, it would be illegal to use such devices to track someone without their consent. South Jersey Assemblyman Paul Moriarty explains here that while stalking is illegal in the state of New Jersey, the current law doesn't explicitly address this type of technology being used.
It's not clear that stalking is that the stalking statutes that are on the books would cover this kind of stalking. The legislation would make it so that if you want to track someone using these types of electronic devices, you have to have their permission in writing. One of the things that I think needs to happen is that if someone is tracking you, not only do you get a notice that you are being tracked, but there should be the ability of the company to be able to tell you who's tracking you.
It's something that you would think wouldn't need to be explicitly said, Jay. Like, yeah, don't drop devices to track people without their permission. But, you know, things like that have to be written out into law, apparently.
You got to codify it. You got to actually put it in print because people will look and say, oh, it doesn't say it's against the law.
Right. Now, there are still a few sort of questionable things, like if you use an app where you opt into being tracked, that could still be legal. You know, technically, you've given your permission. It's also complicated around the issue of domestic relationships. For example, if someone is tracking a vehicle that is registered in their name, but a spouse is driving it, then they're technically tracking their own property. So that is a little bit fuzzy. But, you know, at least this would be one step to codifying this into written law.
Now, it won't be up for a vote in committee until next month, but Moriarty believes it has plenty of bipartisan support. This is the world we live in with new technology, where you have to come up with a bunch of different things just to tell them, hey, don't do this. Like, cut that out. Stop doing that. And plus, just tracking somebody without their consent, that's just very creepy.
Well, here's some positive news, a little more evidence that we are getting back to something like quote unquote normal. Hate using that term, but something like that.
Big quote marks on that. Big quote marks.
This summer, Wawa's Welcome America Festival is going to be back at the Ben Franklin Parkway for the first time since 2019. The celebration starts on Juneteenth and lasts 16 days. There's going to be free museum admission, block parties, fireworks, of course, and a big concert on 4th of July weekend.
Hey, what up, Philly? It's Jason Derulo. I'm going to see you this summer, July 4th.
That's right. Jason Derulo is headlining. I really want to sing his name, but is that copyrighted? Can we do that?
We got to be careful with that one, because some of these brothers will sue out here.
But Jason Derulo is headlining along with Ava Max. Derulo performed for the Welcome America Festival in 2020, which was, you know, not the festival you would expect. He was at the Met Philadelphia with no audience, so glad that he gets to come back and have the full experience.
Plus, can I just say that I think it's really cool that Juneteenth is listed as the start of it, and it's an actual holiday, so it's a nice benchmark right there. Boom. Juneteenth is when this starts, goes 16 days into the 4th of July, and the organizers say there are going to be a lot of multicultural events this year, and of course, as always, Wawa Hoagie Day on June 29th, where Wawa CEO Chris Geissens has promised to give away 30,000 hoagies at Independence Mall.
This is where you want to be. There's no better place than Philadelphia around 4th of July.
And, well, I can't complain about that there. He also said the city does big events better than any city in the country and maybe around the globe. And I'll say this much about Hoagie Day. I very rarely have I seen Independence Mall more on just total smash than the sandwiches going out everywhere. So if nothing else,
30,000 hoagies are going to go surprisingly fast.
They will go incredibly fast. If you had it anywhere near here, you'd only have about 15,000 of them once you got them through everybody in this building. Because knowing how we are in newsrooms about free food. Now, coming up, many people here in the city of Philadelphia didn't know that their property values were being reassessed, which means they could be paying a whole lot more in property taxes. So we'll talk about how that impacts low-income communities and where you can go for help with KYW's Raquel Williams. That's coming up after this. I'm Jay.
I'm Sabrina.
And if you own a home here in the city of Philadelphia, you probably want to check your property values, because in a new round of assessments, the price went up a lot. And that means property taxes are also going to do the same. And this is a particular concern for low-income and gentrifying neighborhoods here in the city. And KYW's community impact reporter Raquel Williams, who's also the host of Bridging Philly, has been talking to experts to figure out how much of an impact this is going to have and where people can go to get help. So, Raquel, thank you for joining us again. And I guess, first of all, just how big of a problem is this for low-income homeowners here in the city of Philadelphia?
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is the last thing that low-income homeowners in Philadelphia want to hear, that they're going to have to dig deeper in their pockets and come up with perhaps hundreds and hundreds of more dollars to pay on property taxes. It's a big problem. I was talking with Jonathan Scrow with Community Legal Services, and, you know, he was really discussing what areas are going to be impacted.
Certain neighborhoods that are being impacted just dramatically and disproportionately to other neighborhoods in the city. And those are primarily the neighborhoods where our low-income homeowner clients come from. It's still very, very important to shelter homeowners, particularly low-income homeowners, from these really dramatic increases. You know, even if it is accurate, that doesn't make it any easier to deal with if you're living on a fixed income.
We're talking about seniors. We're talking about areas that have seen a lot of improvement. Yeah, those values are going to go up. And those areas that have seen a lot of improvement probably in a lot of cases are gentrifying neighborhoods that have seen lots of changes over time. So this is a pretty huge problem, especially when we're talking about, and we talked about it not too long ago, you know, building that generational wealth and, you know, owning your home and, you know, Black and brown people having a stake in the community. You know, this can be a problem as far as holding on to that.
Yeah, it kind of piles on top of existing issues, which we know all of this stuff is cumulative. And it sounds great to have your property value go up. That's great. You have that value and that wealth, but then you have to pay the taxes on it. And this is coming as a surprise to a lot of people. How are homeowners reacting, or have they even had time to react yet?
Yeah, you know, from what I was told, a lot of people don't really know. And when I spoke to someone at the Community Law Center, he told me that, the phones haven't been ringing off the hook yet, but he expects that it will be pretty soon as people, you know, the word starts to spread. You know, if we're in it like you and I, our phones, the news, constantly we're attached to it. But if you're not connected continuously, you might miss this. And if you wait too long, you know, people could miss it until it's too late, because there is some recourse that people can take, but time's of the essence when it comes to that.
Now, I guess another question that also comes up in this is, not everybody's a homeowner. Mm-hmm. There are also plenty of renters, such as myself. Will renters see any fallout from this? Because I'm guessing the property values going up don't just affect just a random house in a neighborhood.
That is so true, because the property owners of these places that they're renting out to, they very well may pass on the increased cost to renters. And Rick Sauer, who is head of the Community Development Corporations in Philadelphia, you know, he was talking about the fact that renters could be hit hard as well.
If this is going to force rents up in certain neighborhoods, that will have an impact on low-income renters as well. And we just don't have the same type of programs or infrastructure in place to help reduce the impact on those folks as well.
And so you have people who feel like they have, okay, we have a good rent. This is something that I can afford. I'm doing fine. And then here comes a huge, boost in the rent that people are just not ready for. And we're talking about 3 years, since they did this assessment. It's almost, I can imagine people feeling that it's not fair, because it's so much in one lump sum, and so many changes have taken place in so many neighborhoods, that here it is, this new high tax bill is on the way. Yeah, renters may be affected, unfortunately.
And if people can't afford to pay these taxes, but the property value has gone up, it also would seem like a good time to sell to someone who can afford it. But this also appears like it could be kind of a trigger for that G word, gentrification, again.
Yeah, absolutely. When you have something like that in areas that are being gentrified, and those cash for home things that were going on, where people are, coming knocking on doors in those areas, telling people, listen, sell your home, we've got the cash for it. People may take those offers. It might be more tempting to get out of a situation where you're finding yourself, having to pay more, not being able to afford it. And it might seem like a good idea to, let's go ahead and sell. They're offering, we need the cash, we can't stay here. And it's going to really affect a lot of people. Like I said, seniors, people living on fixed income. People want to be able to retire in the place where they grew up or where they were working or raise their kids. And if things get too expensive, they can't. So they might end up selling.
Now, what resources are available for people who want to stay in their homes, but as we just described there, can't afford the big tax increase?
There are some programs in place. For one, there's the Homestead Exemption Program. For seniors, the Senior Tax Fees Program is something that can help them. And then there's another program for long-term occupancy and property owners called LOOP. Those are some programs that can help. And I also imagine that there are going to be a lot of people that are going to want to appeal. And that's going to be where it's a little tricky and time is of the essence. These assessments, the hard copies of the assessments, probably won't be sent out until September. The deadline to appeal with the Board of Revision Taxes is October 3rd. If you're not paying attention,
it's a pretty quick turnaround.
It's a pretty quick turnaround. And then you have people that may not even pay attention until they actually get their property tax bills, and that's not until December. Then it's really too late.
And by then, there's nothing fun about that showing up not long before Christmas.
Yeah, especially this kind of increase. What we're talking about, 31% average across the board, but I've heard 60, 70. I've heard crazy averages depending on where you live and what improvements have been made in your area. Even if your own home hasn't been improved, If things around the area, around your home have been improved, you know, that means the assessments are going to be much higher.
And we'll make sure to get some links to some of those resources and put them in the show notes and on Twitter so that if you are hearing this and feeling a little bit shocked, we'll point you to the right place to get some help.
Absolutely. The whiplash is real when it comes to this. I'm telling you.
Jeez. And it's definitely going to hurt. Thank you so much for joining us today, Raquel.
Thank you.
That's it for this Wednesday. I'm J. Scott Smith.
I'm Sabrina Boyd-Circa.
And the Pennsylvania primary is coming up next Tuesday. And there's a lot at stake here in the Commonwealth. So tomorrow, we'll break down all the big issues and the big races before you vote. Join us for that on your Thursday. In the meantime, have a great Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.